Before we start today, not that we haven't started already, I just want to do something that I feel kind of drawn to do. Because I know a lot of you know James, right? When do you leave? Tomorrow. James is joining the army tomorrow. All right? And that's kind of a big deal. So those of you that know him and the elders of the church, would you come around? We're going to have prayer for you for a moment if we could do that. Just stay right where you are. Those who know and feel particularly close will want to just come pray and just lay your hands on this young man and let's say a prayer as a church together, shall we? Let's gather and do that. Dear God, we look to you as someone who knows the end from the beginning, who has laid out through your people your plan for this world, for eternity. And as a young man here who wants to join his country in a special way, please bless him. Guard and protect him, God, from the obvious things and other things that come along in life when you're away from home. Bless his mom and his family, too, as they watch from afar. And just send an extra measure of your grace and protection and love for this man. And bless him in his service. We thank you for all that you've promised us and all that you've given us. And we ask you for that now. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We want to hear how it goes, right? don't be a stranger to us. So that's kind of a big deal. Something I'm very unfamiliar with. But I have huge respect for anyone who is prepared to give their whole life to something, because that's actually when life starts, when you give all of yourself to something. And there's nothing more obvious than what James is going to go and do right now. So you go with our prayers. Wow, where'd you all come from? When I sat down to sing and looked this way, this was kind of empty in here, but I turned around and suddenly there was a group. It's communion today, so I'm going to try not to preach for too long, but I haven't preached for a while. So we're going to do a little bit of that, and then communion will be fairly short today once we get to that part. We're setting it up. I've been at camp meeting for the last couple of weeks as well, and Caroline might want it to go longer, but I'm sure glad that's over. No, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's just, you know, I'm a grumpy camp meeting person. How are we doing on the screen? Did we get that sorted out? Does that work? No, it's all here. Oh, there we go. Look at that. There we go. If you look in your bulletins, the message title today is "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." That comes from the Sermon on the Mount. It's one of the Beatitudes. And I want to focus on those words of Jesus for a little while and look at what a meek life is compared to perhaps a haughty life. And there's a really big difference. And sometimes we try and make ourselves meek, but we're trying to make ourselves meek in order to gain the blessing, in order to be ahead. And that's not meek, right? So I'm going to start off with this verse from Proverbs, Proverbs 21, verse 4. Haughty eyes and an arrogant heart are, and I'm not a big fan of the dot, 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 but check it up in your Bible if you want to see the context, but these are sin. So I don't know if you think you have haughty eyes or not. I'm guessing you think you don't. But you might think that other people do. If you think that other people do, be careful with that, because it might be you. And an arrogant heart are sin. If you know the great controversy story as we teach it here and see it from the Bible, sort of the great story from the end of the beginning, we understand the beginning of sin, the role of Lucifer. Oh, hello. Sorry. The role of Lucifer at the beginning of the fall. This pretty much describes him. He wanted to be something that he was not. And not, you know, this wasn't like, you know, if you dream it, if you believe it, you can do it. No, this was something that was completely out of the realm of possibility. The devil wanted to take on the creator role. The created wanted to become the creator. And this is not possible. This is sin. This is separation. This becomes kind of hard. So haughty eyes and an arrogant heart are sin. Now, I don't know if you exist to be affirmed or if you exist in order to affirm others. That outlook of life changes life completely. And it's actually kind of a sign of immaturity to exist in order to be affirmed. I mean, we need that as we're growing up, and we affirm our children because that's part of a healthy upbringing. But if you hang on to that for so long, you're going to have a really needy, very difficult, hard life. If you wander around everywhere trying to get affirmation, it's going to be a very difficult life that you live. And you all know people who exist to be affirmed, right? I mean, we do. But if you exist in order to affirm another, it can change your outlook on life and change everything about your life. So this morning, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I'm going to tell you a little story about me as we get going here, because this has been my journey a little bit. I couldn't have preached this sermon a number of years ago. My first job, my first pastor job, I don't want to talk about my first job, that was miserable. Anyone worked at McDonald's? Burger King? I doubt that's a lot better. It's a little bit better, because McDonald's is the worst. Anybody work at McDonald's now? It's not, you know, I've been there, I've done that. I've cleaned toilets and boys' dormitories. That wasn't a pleasant job either. But my first pastor job was 10 miles from the General Conference, which is the sort of mothership of the Adventist organization there in Maryland, just outside Washington, D.C. And while I was there, I got to know a lot of people that work at the General Conference, because a lot of them were part of my church. And one day, one of the vice presidents of the General Conference was talking to me, which I always thought that was kind of cool. I like being connected and finding out what's going on and how they view the church and our role and our mission. It's some good stuff to listen to there. And I was talking to one of the vice presidents, and he was saying, you know, you're doing a good job with the youth here. You know, we have a week of prayer every year at the General Conference. And on Sabbath, we meet in the General Conference building. They don't have a church, per se, in there, but once a year, they meet for church at the end of their week of prayer. He says, we never do anything for the youth on that day. And a lot of the people who work there have youth in their families, and they just sort of come and sit. You know, I'm going to go back to the brethren. I'm going to see if maybe we can ask you to look after the youth during the church service at the General Conference end of week of prayer. And I said, oh, that'd be great. But in my head, I was like, I don't want to do that. That sounds like babysitting. And I'd rather be at my church. But I kind of forgot about it. I just assumed it was one of these conversations that you have that never really happens, you know? And so I just went about my job. The phone rang, the church secretary picked it up, and it was this vice president. I was like, oh, no, how am I going to get out of this? So I said, you know, put the call through. I'm like, hi, hello, and I'm looking at my calendar, whatever date he says. It's going to be something on there that stopped me from doing it. And he says, Stephen, I went to the brethren, and we talked about it, and we decided we don't want you to do the youth thing on Sabbath. I was, oh, that's good. That's very polite of him to follow up. That's kind of unusual, actually. Not sure I would have done that. He says, well, what we want you to do, we want you to take the whole week of prayer. My calendar suddenly freed up, because that sounded like fun, to go into the General Conference building and lead them in a week of prayer. I was 27 or 28 at the time. And I thought perhaps I was the youngest person who had ever done that. Of course, I wasn't, because the church was made up of teenagers at the beginning. It's only in the later decades that everybody got old at the general conference. Except that isn't true. They told me that 80% of the people that worked in that building are under the age of 35, which is why they decided to bring a youth pastor in. Now, I had a lot of fun doing that. If I did it now, I'd be more nervous. Back then, I hadn't got a clue what I was really doing. I had a lot of fun doing that. At the end of the week, Robert Falkenberg, which one's the president? One's a son, one's a president. I should remember this. Anyway, one of those Falkenbergs, who was a president at the time, he would send out a weekly communique, and he wrote something really nice about me in the week of prayer. He said he'd never been taken to the foot of the cross by one so young, which is beautiful. And that went round to all the leaders around the world. Went back to my home church. And then people who started having events and youth events around the world took that and decided that they would have me come speak at it. And I got to travel around the world for a while based on what that communique said. And I had a blast. When God calls you to the Great Barrier Reef to preach for him, you go. You pray about it later, but then you go first. So from Australia to Europe, I was traveling. I was racking up the air miles, and I was speaking here. I was telling the same stories everywhere that I went because it was a completely different crowd. So I didn't have to prep or pray. I just had got on the plane, and I just started traveling around. And I liked it a lot. When you start flying a lot and you start racking up the miles and you check in, they ask you if you'd like to go in business class sometimes. It turns out I liked that. And I said, sure, that'd be okay. And I started focusing more on the air miles than I did on the foot of the cross. Somewhere I forgot what the message was. It was gone. It went. There we go. But this can happen so easily in any walk of life. You cannot be a proud preacher and preach the gospel. I mean, you can get up and you can say stuff, but you can't do it. It cannot be done. You cannot preach that the first will be last and the last will be first and then elbow your way to the front of the line. It doesn't work. And in churches and in families and in businesses and in organizations everywhere, we want so much to be recognized. We want so much to be affirmed. We want so much to be appreciated that if people aren't going to do it for us, we're going to put ourselves in a position where people will. And this is not the gospel. We try and demonstrate our strength to show how great we are. And we have 100 ways to do this. This is not what Jesus came to teach us. Jesus said that the meek would inherit the earth, and yet so many proud people are trying to earn the earth. Jesus says your life will not work this way. It can't be done. I was speaking at Newbold Week of Prayer once, which was my old college. And if you're a preacher, to go back to your old college for a week of prayer is pretty fun. You get to hang out with your teachers and professors in a whole different way. And one of my friends, who was a pastor in England, came down for the first few nights just to hang out with me and to hear me preach, because he'd seen the communique from the GC president too, which is a pretty big deal, because us preachers, we're pretty critical of other preachers. I don't know if you know that. That's why camp meeting is such a burden for us, because there's all these other people preaching, and we're like, I could preach better than that. You know, I just like, let me up there. We'll do it. But at the same time, we're taking notes so that we can preach that same sermon later. Sorry if you're at camp meeting, but they're coming back in one form or another, you know, in the next few weeks. But he came down, which was really cool. And you know, he was being really kind, like, you know, this is really cool what you're doing. He was being a really good friend. And after a couple of nights, we were talking, we'd have one of those good conversations, those kind of conversations we used to have in the middle of the night in college, you know. And he said in a very kind, supportive way, he's like, Stephen, I heard that you were good. But he was like, what are you talking about? And we had one of those moments where it's so easy to lose your focus. And I had to confess to God that I was doing all this preaching and all this sharing under my own steam. And you can't take people to the foot of the cross when you really want people to bow down to your own feet. It can't be done. And Jesus came to share that. And not only did he come to share that, but he also came to demonstrate that. He showed us how that works. Now, this is the path of the growing Christian, by the way. The path that I just shared in my own story a little bit. We all have some sort of version of this. Because when we become Christians, we don't start out humble. It's not something where you flick a switch and all of a sudden you have it. Like, I'm humble. I mean, you can't get up. I'm humble. Okay, that's kind of just some oxymoron thing that just doesn't work. So when Christians become Christians, they don't start out humble. We call this fire that we think dies out. Because if you've seen Christians when they first accept Jesus, they're kind of like, I've got to tell everyone about this. I mean, I get it now. And so now that I'm a Christian, I'm going to preach, and all of a sudden, the whole world is going to find out because now I have the gospel. It's like you've been waiting 2,000 years, God, and you've just had the B team working. But now that I'm baptized, now that I've accepted you, watch out, world, I'm going to preach it. And then we think that our Christians lose their fire. And there might be a case to be made for that. But one of the things is, as we mature in our faith, we also mature in our meekness and in our humbleness. And we know that this is God's work, not our work. And I've seen this in a lot of Christians a lot of the time. Now, there's a danger when you become meek and when you become humble that you stop saying anything. And that's a growth pattern too. Because we have to say something. Our voices, our words, our convictions, our passions have to come out somewhere. But new Christians, we often struggle with this. We're going to fix the whole entire church. Because we've just spent 10 years figuring out what's wrong with the church. And now that we've been converted, we can bring our wisdom into the church. And we can fix everything. And of course, it doesn't work that way. I was going to fix every church I ever was a part of when I was in college. All the things in church that I saw were wrong, I was going to take care of that. Boy, have I been humbled. Because churches are churches. And we struggle our way through. You see, at some point, after we celebrate our salvation, we realize that we still need it. Did you get that? When we celebrate our salvation and we carry on with life, we realize, oh, I've accepted Jesus, but I still need salvation. Salvation is this ongoing process. I get to grow. I get to increase in my understanding. And this doesn't make me a better person. This just makes me more of a follower. And as I'm more of a follower, I can talk more for Him. For Jesus. And it's then when we finally realize not only our need of salvation, but of our need of our deep spiritual need. And having a spiritual need can bring sadness and loneliness and quietness, but that can be an incredible blessing. But it's then that we see our real need for Jesus and the direction of the Holy Spirit. And it's in those moments that God can use you. And God can bless you. And God can work through you. Some of us need to be broken to be used by God. When we witness Jesus' selflessness, when we go beyond what he can do for us and what he can do through us, then life can completely change. Self is so inadequate. We are so weak. And yet with God, we are so strong. And this is why Jesus left heaven and left the sonship of God in the royalty sense of the word and came down to this earth and became one of us. Not as some powerful human being to be worshipped on this earth, but to provide for us what we could not provide for ourselves. And this is why Paul was able to say things like this from Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And I love this verse. Paul says, I was put to death on the cross with Christ. Therefore, I do not live anymore. It is Christ who lives in me. I still have my body, but I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to save me. This is it. Oh, yes, there. This is it, right there. It's not about me anymore. It is about him who saved me and him working through me. So Jesus says to us in John 14, 27, I leave you my peace. My peace I give to you. I do not give it as the world does. So don't let your hearts be troubled or be afraid. Because our own self-pride totally affects our peace. If I am afraid of what you are going to think of me, then I will not have peace. Because there's no way I can make all of you think good things about me. Right now, I like to think there are some people out here like, boy, I needed to hear this. Praise God for your servant, this pastor standing up right. And that's wonderful. There's others of you. It's communion. How long are you going on? Okay? And, you know, there's all different things going right here. And I cannot connect with you all under my own steam and under my own power for you to think that you have a great preacher and now I've just filled you up today. No, it has to be a God thing. So if I'm relying on what you think of me to give me peace, I will never have peace because there will always be one antagonist that just doesn't get me. I know because I don't get all of you. Praise God. If I want to have a bigger church than Yosemite Church up the road, I will never have peace until that specific thing happens. And then, if I'm a human being, I'll be looking for the next thing to give me peace. If I want recognition by the conference or any other human institution, then I will have stress and I will not have peace. Peace comes from Jesus and he says, I give you my peace. And how do we do this? It's not about us. It's about him. For the meek, will inherit the earth. There was a gathering in what was called the upper room, an out-of-the-way place. There were some rough times coming. No one knew that better than Jesus. But I think even the disciples, while they didn't know the specifics, I think they knew things were changing. And I imagine there was a little fear, a little tension, a little apprehension going on in the room. And in the middle of it, with Jesus knowing what was about to come, knowing that his disciples were going to be deserting him, telling Peter that he was going to betray him, knowing that one of them had actually sold him out, in the middle of all this, as a son of God, he just took off his robe, grabbed a towel and a bowl, and washed his disciples' feet. Anybody ever seen a Democrat and a Republican debate on CNN or any other channel? I'm familiar with it. For my spirituality, I tend not to watch that too much. Wouldn't it be amazing if one of the pundits grabbed a towel and a bowl and offered to wash his opponent's feet? Would that change our country? You bet it would. What if when you watch the beginning of a game of football, and I'm getting excited, it's nearly August, then September, it's a good time of the year. What if when all the teams were announced and they came out and they sort of chest bumped each other, their teammates? What if one of the quarterbacks or one of the leaders from the team went over to the other team and washed his opponent's feet? You might say, oh, that's silly, that'd ruin football. I wonder. It'd be amazing, wouldn't it? It would be a different world entirely. Maybe this is silly, but this is the call, and this is the way, and it starts again here in this place. Not an organized community to show how much better we are than other people. If you think you have the right view on women's ordination, if you think that you are the remnant, if you listen to the right sort of music and reverence this place in the right way, if your witness is superior, if your connection is the greatest, or even if it isn't, I invite you this morning to grab a bowl and a towel and wash somebody else's feet. Now, in this room today, one of the reasons this room is filled out is because the Spanish church are in here. And they've lost their pastor. He's gone on to other responsibilities, and we're still figuring that out. Only half of you can understand me. So the half that can understand me, why don't today some of us make an effort to wash somebody's feet from the other congregation? Just keep an eye out for that, because we have to learn how to do this and share what we have and who we are. If you're struggling, had some debates on church with somebody, why don't you use this opportunity to wash somebody's feet and let the Spirit, through a room of meekness and humbleness, take over this place. So I invite you to do that this morning. Now, just some logistics, if you are a visitor here, of which I think there are quite a few. You probably don't realize it. If you're a visitor, you might think you're the only one. And think these people next to me are being very, it's a very rude church. Well, maybe they're a visitor too. And, you know, you just need to do your thing. We have rooms for families, and rooms for men, and rooms for women. Just follow somebody, because I don't know where those rooms are. I'm still learning. So follow somebody, and if they go to the wrong one, just back out. It's okay. And if this is uncomfortable, if you didn't come prepared for this today, there is absolutely no pressure to do this. You are invited to do this. If you're not even sure, you've never seen it, I'm not making it up. We're about to wash one another's feet. This is not a symbolic thing. We're literally going, we've got water and bowls out there, and if you're not familiar with that, I'm serious. We're doing that. You can come watch and observe. There's no problem with that. If you want to just try it, if you want to wait in here, that's fine. Because when we come back, we will share the bread and the juice with each other. On the pews are little green stickers. I can see them from here. You probably can't see them looking this way. When you come in, sit on a row with a sticker. I think we've got enough room to do that. And that will just help in the parsing out. And then we'll come back and we'll just, with these very tangible symbols, share God's sacrifice with each other. He's invited us to do this. In the Gospel of John, he invited us to do this. It's same with the foot washing. He says, do this until I come. As I've done this to you, do this for each other. And just use this time. I mean, if you're a spouse and you're like, you know, we need to wash each other's feet because, you know, we got some stuff going on. Use this time. Make it beautiful. A family member. Or find one of your brothers, one of your sisters. We do the same. We don't have mixture outside of the family setting. Just, we don't want to create embarrassment or any sort of awkwardness. But I invite you to do that this morning. Can I pray with you? And then we'll separate to do that. Dear God, be with us now as we follow your example. Following your example, sometimes, God, is so countercultural, so counter what we have been brought up to do. So guide us through this process, God. Give us comfort and strength enough to do it, but if we need to be rattled and uncomfortable a little bit, lead us through that as well, God. We trust you. So bless this service now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll separate now, and we'll see you back here in just a few minutes. Welcome back, everybody. And we have a translator here now, so...
Hello.
So welcome, Michael.
Bienvenidos todos.
This morning is extra special in my family.
Esta mañana es especial para nuestra familia.
Because my daughter, Clara, is having her first communion today.
Porque nuestra familia va a hacer su primera comunión.
And I've been a dad that says you have to wait till you're baptized.
I'm sorry?
I've been a dad that says she has had to wait till she was baptized.
Oh, que ella se ha tenido que esperar para ser bautizada.
By the way, I believe every family should decide that on their own.
Y toda familia tiene que decidir eso en ellos solos.
Because we practice open communion here.
Porque nosotros practicamos a la comunión abiertamente.
Which means if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior,
¿qué significa si ustedes aceptan a Jesucristo como su Salvador?
You are invited to participate this morning.
Son invitados para participar.
Is anybody else having their first communion today?
¿Alguien más va a tener su primera comunión?
Okay, oh, beautiful. Oh, brilliant. That's really nice. I think we should find this out every time. I think that's a nice thing.
Es algo hermoso.
Before us, we have the bread and we have the juice.
Ante nosotros tenemos el pan y el jugo.
The bread represents Christ's body.
El pan representa el cuerpo de Dios.
And the juice represents his blood.
Y el jugo representa su sangre.
And it is because of his sacrifice.
Y es por su sacrificio.
And his life.
Y su vida.
That we get to live.
Que nosotros podemos vivir.
So to prepare for the sharing of these elements.
Para prepararnos,
we're going to bless them.
Vamos a bendecirlos.
And so one of our elders will pray for the bread.
Entonces vamos a orar por el pan.
And one of our elders will pray for the juice.
Y otros vamos a orar por el jugo.
So I invite you to bow your heads.
Y les invito a postrar nuestros rostros.
And we shall kneel as we pray.
Y vamos a arrodillarnos para orar.
Father God,
querido Padre,
we come to you today.
Venimos a ti.
Just praising you and thanking you.
Para alabarte y darte gracias, Señor.
For your almighty love.
Por tu amor.
We come to honor you with the bread of life through your Son Jesus.
Venimos a con el pan de vida, Señor.
We ask you to bless this bread.
Bendice este pan, Señor.
It is a symbol of Jesus' body.
Es el símbolo de Cristo Jesús.
It is a symbol of his body that was bruised, damaged, and a heart that was broken for us.
Fue el símbolo del cuerpo de Cristo Jesús que fue dañado por nosotros.
And we thank you, Father.
Y te damos gracias, Señor.
For allowing your Son to do this for us.
Por dejar a tu hijo que haga esto por nosotros.
And we thank you, Jesus, for doing this for us.
Y te damos gracias, Señor, por hacer esto por nosotros.
So put a special blessing on this bread as we partake of it today.
Pon tus bendiciones sobre este pan, Señor, en esta mañana.
And we thank you in the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus.
Te damos gracias, Señor, en tu nombre, Jesús. Amen.
Our dear Heavenly Father.
Querido Padre, Señor.
We are so very, very thankful that we can come here and take part of this today.
Te damos muchas gracias que podemos estar aquí y tomar parte en esto, Señor.
You've asked us to do this as we remember you.
Nos has pedido que hagamos esto para recordarte a ti, Señor.
And when we remember you, we remember that you spilled your blood for us.
Y cuando acordamos de ti, Señor, nos acordamos que has derramado tu sangre por nosotros.
Today we partake of the grape juice.
Ahora tomamos parte en el jugo.
This grape juice is pure and unfermented as your blood was pure.
Este jugo de uva es puro, Señor, como tú eres.
And we thank you for giving your life and spilling your blood for us.
Y te damos gracias por dar la vida por nosotros y por derramar tu sangre por nosotros.
It is because of this we have the hope of eternity.
Es por esto que tenemos la esperanza de la eternidad.
To spend it with you.
Para pasarla contigo.
And we know that you will not drink of this juice until you drink of it with us, and we look forward to that.
Y sabemos que tú no tomarás parte en este día, pero cuando nosotros estemos contigo en el cielo, tomarás parte con nosotros y esperamos eso, Señor.
And we ask that you would bless this juice.
Y te pedimos que bendigas este jugo en este día.
In Jesus' name, amen.
En el nombre de Cristo Jesús, amén.
Praise God for Jesus. Amen.
Damos gracias a Dios por nuestro Señor Jesús.
Jesus died.
Jesús murió.
To make the unforgivable forgivable.
Para hacer lo que no se puede perdonar, perdonar.
To take what would destroy you.
Para tomar lo que te destruye.
And give you life.
Y darte vida.
If you take Jesus' sacrifice today.
Si tomas el sacrificio de Jesús.
I invite you to take your bread.
Te invito que tomes tu pan.
And eat it.
Y cómalo.
Jesus didn't just die for us.
Jesús no nomás murió por nosotros.
He also lived for us.
También vivió para nosotros.
To show us a better way.
Para enseñarnos su camino.
And if you would like his life.
Y si quieres su vida.
Then I invite you to take the cup.
Entonces te invito a tomar el jugo.
And drink.
Y tomarlo.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus is everything.
Jesús es todo.
Everything.
Todo.
Shall we sing?
Vamos a cantar.
I think I chose Showers of Blessing. Is that right? I made a good choice. Number 195 in your hymnals.
195 en los himnarios.
Let's stand and sing.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again, over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, oh that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Just to let you know that on the way out.
Para dejarles saber en el para ir afuera.
We're going to collect up a special offering.
Vamos a colectar una ofrenda.
And we do this at communion every time we do it.
Y hacemos esto en la comunión todo el tiempo.
We call it our Good Samaritan Fund.
Le llamamos el las fondos de buen samaritano.
And it's just simply for us as a church.
Es simplemente para nosotros la iglesia.
To try and support other members in the church.
Para tratar de soportar a otros miembros de la iglesia.
As you can imagine, we've used this fund quite a bit lately.
Como se pueden imaginar, hemos usado estos fondos.
These are difficult times.
Son tiempos difíciles.
So if you have a job,
Si tiene usted un trabajo,
we don't all have jobs.
Nosotros muchos no tenemos trabajo.
If you have a job, I invite you to place some money in this offering plate on the way out.
Si tienen trabajo, ustedes les invito a que den una ofrenda hacia el camino afuera.
And your head elder, head deacon, and pastor will disperse it as we see fit.
Y el anciano, el diácono, lo recibirá.
But now let's pray.
Oremos.
Dear God,
querido padre,
thank you for your invitation to be here today.
Gracias por tu invitación que hemos estado aquí ahora.
Please bless this church.
Bendice esta iglesia.
Bless them in their work.
Bendícelos en su trabajo.
Bless them in their families.
Bendícelos y sus familias.
Bless anyone going to Oklahoma this week.
Bendícelos a los que van a Oklahoma esta semana.
And go with us, I pray, in Jesus' name.
Y ve con nosotros en el nombre de Cristo Jesús.
Amen.
Amen, Señor.